Now, today, understanding the importance of the Ten Commandments. That sounds like a boring sermon, doesn't it? The Ten Commandments, the laws. What does all that mean to us? Well, I'm going to begin a series on that, but this kind of puts us in the mindset of why the Ten Commandments is so important to us today. Why it is the shining light to help us to know God says what's right and wrong. I come up with what's right and wrong. We all do in our own minds. We rationalize a lot of things. But when God says what's right is right, and what God says is wrong is wrong. Don't I want to know what God says? The Ten Commandments. Do you even know where they are in your Bible, much less read them? Didn't we all get excited and we all broke and we all marched around when they took the Ten Commandments out of our schools? You know why they took it out of our schools? They took it out of our house years before they took it out of our schools. That's why they took it out. We want to blame everybody for everything, but the reality is the Ten Commandments are very important to us. So I want to help us with that today. I want to give us a view, a positive understanding of what it's like. Most people think the law is boring. It's negative. It restricts us. It hurts us. It limits us. It's rigid. And it causes a lot of troubles, these laws in our land. But there's never been God's intention for the Ten Commandments was designed to hurt us. The Ten Commandments by God is designed to protect us and give us freedom. You know what destroys my life? Sin. That's what destroys my life, sin. And you know what the Ten Commandments points out to my life? What sin is. So thank God. It is a very positive thing. See, it's sin that comes in. It condemns me. It makes me feel guilty. It takes away from my life. Sin is a destroyer. It gives us weird thinking. We can reason out sin and not even feel guilty about it today. But the Ten Commandments, when you understand them, protects me. Protects me from what is right and what is wrong according to God, Jehovah God. We live in a land today where every God in the world lives in America, but Jehovah God is the one risen from the dead. And this is what he says. The Ten Commandments is like a good school teacher teaching me right from wrong, teaching me what is right and what is wrong. Not what politics said, not what the Republicans say, the Democrats says, but the Word of God says. We must adhere to that. So the Ten Commandments is one of the most positive things in my life. It tells me what God thinks on matters that just really contends with me a lot. Man, I always kind of want to do it my way. You know, that's all sin is. Sin is doing it my way instead of God's way. And so the Ten Commandments is something in our life that will help us. It's protecting our lives according to God. It commands our children. You know, think about this. We use commandments all the time raising our children. How many times have we said, you stay in the yard, don't leave. Do your homework, stay ahead. Don't drive too fast. Wear your seatbelts. We give commandments all the time to our children. Why? To protect them. To make sure that they have the best in life. Those intentions are so real. See, it protects us. It gives us all the things in our life. Now, let me just instruct you this. Sometimes the Ten Commandments are so negative because how it was taught to us. Some authoritative, you know, you do this or not. Out of almost an anger. Let me tell you something. Discipline without love always leads to rebellion. Let me say it again. Discipline without love will always lead to rebellion. Sometimes when you have that 16-year-old in your house or 2-year-old in your house and you're going to discipline them, do it out of love. You know, don't have your face real red and be screaming out and say, I love you. But see, when you discipline out of love, there will be a correction. When you discipline out of the lack of love, there will be a rebellion. And what do we do when it comes to Ten Commandments? We rebel. But let me share this with you. No one ever loved us more than God. No one could ever do what for us what God did. So the Ten Commandments were given out of the love of God. Into the heart of man to protect us, not restrict us. We want the best for all of our lives. So I want to help you to understand this. When we're taught with the love of Christ, it changes everything in your life. And I want you to know, God loved us so much, He sent His Son to die for us. And He wants us to know what right and wrong is. He wants us to know what sin does. He wants us to live in the power and the grace and the mighty of God. He wants us to make good, tough choices. You know what leadership is? A leadership isn't somebody who's going down the road and the wheels fall off and he's not a good leader. That's when you become a good leader, when the wheels fall off, because you have the Holy Spirit of God. You've got the power of God. And many times we're backed up against the wall. We'll do the wrong things. You know why? Because we don't know what the right thing is to the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when Kathy and I, whenever I get over one of my stupid days, say amen, Kathy. Yes, amen. You know what she says? Now, Ronald, you know better than that. When she says that, I could break her neck. It just makes me mad. But she smiles when she says it. She's protecting me. She's protecting the church. She's helping. Because she wants me to do the right. And there's nobody wants me to do more right than God. And how can I do it if I don't understand what right and wrong is today? Let me tell you something. America is tore up because of rights. We must learn what's right and forget the rights. We don't have all these rights. We have right and wrong. America, see how good we are? See how good the devil is? We can use the word right and still be wrong because we put an S on it. That's what truth is. So Jesus is coming to help us to be obedient and do all the things that God wants us to be. No. Obedience to Christ is a willing heart. Man, when you decide that God's ways are better than mine and His God's, He free me up, even though sometimes they wrestle with me, it all works together in our lives. See, we can be obedient on the outside and disobedient on the inside. You got that? We can be obedient on the outside, but inside we're just battling. Little boy was sitting in a doctor's office one day. He was over there fighting, carrying on, screaming, and fighting with his sister and carrying on. His mother went over there and grabbed him and set him down and said, "Now, I want to tell you something, Johnny. You sit right there. Don't you move and shut up." Johnny says, "Mama, I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still standing up." Don't y'all have a little Johnny in you? On the outside, I'm sitting down. But on the inside, I'm standing up. And let me share this with you. Many of you have outside obedience here today, but it's what's on the inside that counts. Because you know where God looks? He looks on the inside. He looks in the heart. We can't impress God by looking good and doing good things and singing and preaching and putting money in the offering plate and helping poor people and praying. That doesn't do anything to God. That's outwardly, but I hope it's motivated inwardly. Many times our religion becomes a habit. Our religion becomes a process, and it's never obedience from the inside of our lives. And so I want to help you understand that. So when God comes in our life, He wants us to be all that and be persuaded inside out, be walking with God and understand His privileges. Now, I want to talk about obedience that brings blessings. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, this is a great chapter. Let me just encourage you to read that, this chapter. Well, you can read the whole book of Deuteronomy, but look, chapter 11 just sticks out to me in a very special way. It talks about victory depends on obedience. You know, we're going to learn about obedience and sacrifice. I was talking to an Orthodox Jew in Israel several years ago, and he wanted to eat this cheeseburger. You know, and it's against kosher for him to have a cheeseburger. And so he says, well, what would it hurt you to eat a cheeseburger? He said, "My pittance is a week long of praying. It ain't worth it." He'd have to sacrifice for a whole week if he ate the cheeseburger. Pay attention. When you're obedient, you won't need a sacrifice. When you're walking the line, you don't need sacrifice. You know what sacrifice is? When we broke
the rule. And we have sacrificed a lot in my life. Our nation has sacrificed a lot in our lives. Because obedient is where victory is. Not in sacrifice. Sacrifice is the penance for our disobedience. Think about marriages and children, relationships and nations that has lived in a sacrificial life, never had the joy of nothing because they've never been obedient to Jehovah God. Why can I go to Calcutta, India, and every day they come down and take the dead people off the street with carts? Because in Calcutta, India, they believe their God is a rat and a cow. When you worship that, you don't have nothing but sacrifice. Worship Jehovah, and obedience will bless your life. So see, he's teaching us this principle. In verse 22, for if you carefully keep all the commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all of his ways, and to hold fast to them. Let me command you to do that. Let me encourage you to do that. Then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you and will dispose greater and greater and mighty nations than yourselves. God's going to protect you, man. He's going to take the bad guys away. He's going to give you great things. He's going to bless you. You know why America's great? God blessed us. It's in God we trust. Used to. And the reason why our blessings and sacrifices are coming, because of disobedience of Christ. It's remember that. Now, earlier in this chapter, he reminds them. He reminds them how strong God is. He took him over there to Egypt when Moses. He says, remember when I came and released you from the freedom of Pharaoh? Remember when we got in the river and I drowned him? Remember how I protected you out there in the desert? Do you remember how I took care of you? Because you were obedient. But the day you quit being obedient, sacrifice will be a part of your life. You'll sacrifice. You know, let me tell you something. If you love Jesus and you're going to come to church and you're going to give money, if you got to give 10% because of sacrifice, you'll never enjoy it. Keep it. Be obedient and he'll bless you. Amen? If you give because you're guilty, what is that? You give because you love God out of obedience. I want you to be happy inside and outside. That's what he says. Being obedient to God brings victories in everything we do. He says, every place, in verse 24, every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the rivers, from the river and the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. This is going to be all yours. Just walk with me. Now let me just share this with you. When the Ten Commandments came, God gave them a choice. You can take these commandments, Moses and the children, and obey them, and I'm going to take care of you. And if you break them, I'll curse you. They made the deal. See, the Old Testament is the old contract. The New Testament is the new contract. Aren't you glad we're in the new one? Say amen. But don't you know what the contract is? You need to know it. He's reminding them how I took care of you. I'm going to give you all of this. All those people, all those strong people, all those people who know how to fight in war, and you've been slaves all of your life. I'm going to take that from you, and I'm going to give it to you. Just be obedient to me. Forget the sacrifice. Just be obedient to me. It's yours. I give it to you. No man, in verse 25, no man shall be able to stand against you, and the Lord your God will put the dread out of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as you have said to you. Now, let me tell you something. The world better fear America, because this is the only nation in the world, only country in the world that says in God we trust, Jehovah God. And you know why we win? Not because of our smart missiles, not because of all that we have. We win because God is the victor of good evil. Amen? That's our blessing. Don't forget that. Don't think you just grew up in America. We're so spoiled and rotten, we think we deserve this. God, give this to us because of our forward thinking about how we got here to worship him in a freedom. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. Let me tell you something about this God you serve. He's a vengeance God. He is a warrior God. You're going to read in the Bible in a few moments, you mess with him, and he'll take you out. He is a vengeance God. Remember the Bible says, vengeance is mine? Well, you just let God run the show, he'll take care of it. But he said, I will bless you, or I will curse you. The blessings, if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. He said, now if you just walk with me and be obedient to all I've asked you, I'm going to bless you. It's all yours. More blessings than you could ever buy. More than you could ever earn. Because God himself will give it to us. And God has given it to America. If you could just travel outside of the world and step on the soil of a foreign land, I'll tell you what. I stepped on the soil of Russia. It's not a third world country. But there's nothing more painful and more frightening and scary when I walked into Russia and came off the airport and they stood there with their rifles and their M6. It's every place in the world getting out of an airport in a third world country. You see more artillery there than you will see in the United States Army. Because they got to kill and fight. God gave them nothing. See, God blessed us in so positive a way, it makes us. It's better to bless him. In 1 Samuel, I want to read in verse 15, in chapter 15, verse 22, as he begins to speak to us. Now Samuel was the preacher. He was the warrior. He was the leader of God. God spoke through Samuel. He was the prophet. The Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" He says he has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. "As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed then the fat of the rams." It's better to be obeying than have to pay sacrificially in your life. Let me tell you something. The pain and suffering that I have spent in my life is because of my disobedience to God. And let me tell you something. It hurts, doesn't it? Doesn't it hurt? When you live in the brokenness of life and all that happens because of decisions you made? Look at the children. They always pay for big people's decisions, and they're always suffering. Doesn't it hurt? Yes, it hurts. Oh, it kills me. So much better to obey than sacrifice. And he gives us these principles so if we obey, we won't have to sacrifice our lambs, our marriages, our families, our jobs, and our nation. It's better to do that. I want to read in Joshua 1:8. This is what Joshua, the commander, Moses has died. Joshua's going to the promised land. He's going to take him. But they got a big battle over there. They got big walls over there. They got people who have big bombs and big shelters and everything over there. And we are just going to march in and take them. Here's what Joshua says in Joshua 1:8. You got to put this on your refrigerator door. The reason why I say refrigerator door, I visit that 4 or 5 times every day. So that's the reason I say refrigerator. He says, the book of law shall not depart from your mouth. Now, when you live by the law, you better know the law. It'll not depart from your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night. You understand the Ten Commandments. You meditate on them day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. That's the reason why we preach the Ten Commandments, because it makes us successful and it prospers our lives. Say amen to that. It's what sets us free according to God. Joshua says, I want you to know the word. I want you to meditate on it. How many of you know the Ten Commandments? How many of you know where they're in the Bible? How many know that? Do you know the first 5 are commandments is pertaining to God? And the next 5 is pertaining to one another? And the reason why the last 5 gets broke because we messed up the first 5. When you honor God, we'll treat each other better. We'll even love you on the inside and outside. Isn't it good to shake hands with somebody and say they love you, and down deep you say, I don't think you love me at all. On the outside they're being obedient, but on the inside, where are they at? They remember your sins from yesteryears. They remember your past. They keep score. All the Pharisees in the world always keep score. Grace forgives, and it's gone. He says, if I will just do this, you'll meditate on this, it'll change your life. And we're going to take on these people. We're going to take them on, and we're going to be victorious. And Joshua was one of the people that the 12 spies went into the Holy Lands, went over there, and he's spying out. And they came back and said, man, we can't take them. They got giants over there, man. They can whip us and this and that. And Joshua Caleb says, I believe we can do it. The rest of those guys died, but Joshua and Caleb lived 89 years of age, and they took the promised land because they believed it back then. They believed their God could do that. And God let them live to do it. They did it by faith. They did it. Let me just ask you a question. How much are you living your life by faith today or fear? Faith and fear can't live in the same canister. It can't live together. It's either faith or fear. And if you can't have faith today, then fear can take us a long way away from where God wants us to be, because the perfect love of God does what? Cast out our fear. And I want you to have the peace and the prosperity and the safety that God gives us and all the ways to be safe that God gives us. But my concern today in America, we've lost our faith in Jehovah God. We've heard about all the scientists. We've heard about all the rules. We've heard about all the problems. We've never heard nothing about God in a problem. And God can let me walk through a storm. It's still a storm. It's still frightening. But the love of my God and the faith in my heart and the inside gives me the resources to go through it without sin and dividing us and not liking people. That's obedience, not sacrifice. Now, the blessings come. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to talk about something that'll get to you. It gets to me. Partial obedience. You know, partial obedience, almost right, but you're a little 2 cents. Let me tell you about partial obedience with God. It doesn't work. It's either right or wrong, hot or cold, in or out, yay or nay. There's no such thing as a partial obedience to God. Just tell your neighbor if you're sitting on it. There's no such thing as partial obedience. I'm either right or wrong. Can't get close. Close don't count with God. You know how come I know it don't count with God? Because the only way he could save us is sent his son to die for my sins. We couldn't get any other way. There had to be a sacrifice because of our disobedience that paid for my sins. There's no other way, right or wrong. Partial sacrifice is there for our agenda. And sometimes we think as Christians, well, I'm not as bad as them. At least I do this. At least I pray. But if you just halfway doing it, save your breath. You're living a lie. And in the top 10, it says don't lie. White lies are lies. Now that'll make you stay awake at night, won't it? Think about that. It's no worse than killing. No worse than adultery. See how we have partial obedience? And don't even feel bad about it. But when you understand what God says about obedience and what's right and wrong, we ought to feel bad about it. But see, we just conditioned. So, the partial obedience in 1 Samuel 15. Let me read verse 23. For the rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Now, partial obedience is the sin of witchcraft. Now, that's big. That's straight from the devil. All sin is straight from the devil. And stubbornness is an iniquity and an idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. He's talking about King Saul. King Saul had an order from God. You know, the order of God was to go into the Amalekites and kill them. Now, let me tell you something. The vengeance is the Lord. What the Amalekites did was years earlier, but he hadn't forgot it. And God says, now I'm going to bring retribution for what the Amalekites did. And Saul, you're my king. I want you to go over there. I'm going to read to you. I want you to kill everything there. I want you to kill the ladies, the men, the children, the animals. Kill it all. Vengeance is the Lord. Doesn't sound like the God we think much of, does it? But my God is so righteous and so right and so loving and so true. But He is a warrior God and must not forget it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did here, He can do now. Got it? And so see, Saul was the guy who God says, you go over there, Samuel says, you go over there and you tell him exactly what I want you to do. I want to just read just two quick verses in chapter 15. 1 and 2, and then I don't know if I have that on the screen, but I'll be there in a minute, the rest of it. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over the people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the words of the Lord your God. Now do what He says. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will punish the Amalek, what they did to Israel, how he laid wait for them and waited on them that came from Egypt. He says, they waited for my children, they came and they massacred us. I remember that. And Saul, I want you to go in there and I want the retribution of my God to be into their lives, and they're going to pay for what they did. How many times you've ever thought maybe this guy got away with murder, or this guy got away with this, or this person got away with this? Let me tell you something. Vengeance is the Lord's. When you break it, your God will make sure you pay it. Say amen. So you relax. You don't have to spit on them. You don't have to get mad at them. You don't have to say bad words about them. Let God do it. Vengeance is the Lord. This is a lesson here. God says they thought they got away with it. Didn't get away with nothing. Now God sent His first king to clean up and to take care of it. Let me go to verse 8 and 7, 8 and 9. 8 and 9. And also he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and people spared Agag and the rest of the sheep, the oxen, the fattings of the lambs that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. So they went through there, and they said, God said, kill everything. But man, look at that sheep. That's a beautiful sheep. I'd like to have that one. Man, look at this. And they're just dumb animals. Can't be no difference. And so, and then all the Agag, they even took the king. He said, I want you to kill the children. I want you to kill everything. Nothing comes out of that. They're paying. Vengeance is the Lord's. So they got over there, and Saul says, hey, man, it sure wouldn't bother God to take the spoils. These are good. We'll take them over there and we'll give them to the church. I'll win the lottery so I can give it to the church. Ain't that a lie? Why in the world would you have to scratch a card when you got a cross in your life that promised to bless you, promised to take care of your needs? Why would you have to gamble? Gamble is addicted as crack cocaine. But see, it's a lie. So see how the reasoning, see how King Saul was just reasoning with God? Surely it won't be that bad. It can't hurt that much. Verse 18. Now the Lord sent you on a mission, he said. Go and utterly destroy the sinners and Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed. And why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did the swoop down on the spoil and do evil in sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission which the Lord has sent me, and I brought back King Agag, king of Amalek. I've utterly destroyed all the Amalekites. He said, I almost did that all. What's upset? I just brought the good stuff back. Verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I want you to underline this right here. Thank God for grace. Amen? How many of us would still be here if he's under law? Thank God for grace. It's amazing. Glad we sung that song today. But the law is strict. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord. Saul's repenting. He said to the preacher, hey, man, I sinned. I did wrong. Because I feared the people obeyed their voices. See how Saul did that? He played the blame game. I did it because everybody said to do it. I did it because of what everybody said it was right. Let me tell you something. Peer pressure is tough. And today Christians are being bullied more than we've ever been bullied in our life, and it's tough. Whenever you do what somebody else says compared to what God says, be careful. Saul says, I repent. I only did it because they asked me to, and it sounded good. But verse 24. Now therefore, please pardon me. Pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. Let me get back to worship, man. I just did wrong. I got to get rid of the sin. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. You're out. We need to know the law. What God says, He means it. Because of grace today, He continues to forgive us because of the blood of Jesus has given us that power. Amen? Given us the grace to take our biggest mistakes and bring it back to the fullness of Christ. But you know the reason I'm teaching you the Ten Commandments? Because I want you to know what God thinks about sin and how serious He is about sin. And it's important to do what God says, because all of our sacrifices for our families and our children and our nation isn't worth it. And Saul was no longer king because he just didn't follow orders completely. Partial completely. Partial obedience. That's how God really thinks about my partial obedience. It's sin. Not almost sin. It's sin. What's destroying our nation? What's destroying our nation? It isn't a pandemic. It's sin. Sin's destroying our nation. And what has pandemic done to us? Brought out our sins. Brought out what inside obedience is not there. We can't love people for just being people. We love people who think like us. We love people who are obedient like us. We love people who think like us. Let me tell you something. Man, just love people. Years ago, I went to LaGrange Prison. I preached there for 10 years as a chaplain. And I met a man who came to me one day, and he said, Brother Ron, I come to all your chapel service. I love to hear you preach. It's great. I've been saved. But he says, I'll tell you what, I'm in jail for the rest of my life. And I'm not sorry about it. I said, why are you not sorry about it? He said, because there was a man in the corner of my block. He raped three of our little girls in that block. I knew he did it. We almost had enough proof, never could prove it. And then he took a little boy and molested him. He molested four. And they'd take him to the police station, he'd get out. Take him to the police station, he'd get out. He said, so one day I walked up to him when nobody was looking, and I took a .45 and shot him right between the eyes, and he died. And I don't mind spending the rest of my life in here because I'm saving boys and girls on my block. Isn't it amazing? Sound like Saul, didn't it? He justified his sin, partial obedience, because his emotions got tied up in it. I couldn't convince him it was wrong, but he was sure paying a sacrifice for the rest of his life. I can understand that, man, can't you? Wouldn't you be tempted to do that? You know, wouldn't you be tempted if you've seen three little girls on your block being raped and he always gets out of it? And there's still little girls on your block and the police ain't taking care of it? I can understand that. That's what Saul did. And God says, you'll not be my king. Partial obedience doesn't work. And until we get that down, we'll never find the blessings. Family, just partially discipline your children when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And they won't talk to you when they're 17. Got it? They need to be loved with discipline, and they'll be with you forever. Why waste years? So Saul was in this part of life, you know, partial obedience isn't that bad. Now I want to close with one verse of Scripture. It's found in John chapter 14, 21. I want to read this to you. I want you to get ready for the Ten Commandments. You know why? They're going to bless us. They're going to make us better. They're going to bring us aware of what God thinks instead of what America thinks. We're going to know what's right instead of rights. We're going to know God's word. John 14:21. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Now this is New Testament. This is grace. Who knows my commandments and keeps them, they love me inside and outside. I'm not just sitting down. I'm sitting with God. Loves me. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, God of the universe. And I will love him and manifest myself in him. The Ten Commandments comes out of us. And if you don't have the Ten Commandments, what's right, you know what comes out of you? Your thinking, your ideas, your partial obedience. And what do we need? What God says. And the commandments help us to get there. Amen? So we're going to go through a refreshing course. We're going to talk about how the five commandments, how they take care of us, between us and God, and then how we take care of one another. And I think what America is partial obedience, if not totally disobedient as a nation. When we can vote in gay rights, when we can vote in abortion, as a Supreme Court of the United States of America, what does God think about us now? Only by grace. And there comes a day when God doesn't wink anymore. It's over. Aren't you glad you don't live under law? Aren't you glad the law keeps you and protects you? Say yes. And it'll bless you in your storms of life. I want you to understand to love the law, because it's what God does to take sin out of my life. I'm asked all the time as a preacher, well, Brother Ron, what would you do in this situation, some ethical situations? You know, there's always gray areas, always gray areas. What would you do, Brother Ron? Help me. I'm in a tough spot. I'd say, I can't. Only God can help you. You don't try to get me to okay what you're doing wrong. You don't try to get me to just say it ain't that bad. But you talk to God. And you read his commandments. And you won't have to ask the preacher, because it's inside of you. And you're living your life with safety and protection and blessings. Because vengeance is the Lord. He is a righteous God. And I tell you what, I believe God has the sights in America in his scope. And only by grace he hasn't pulled that trigger yet. Because of our disobedient outwardly, and we march and we brag and we just say, well, they're just humans. That's the reason why we got a God with right and wrongs, because humans need help. Amen?